on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
And it's 29 to 11. Greg Hayes joins us with another action-packed show. Morning, Greg.
Morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a lot to get through this morning. I thought we'd get five guests on today with so much happening in the world of harness racing. First up this morning, we're going to catch up with Roy Roots. He trains the very talented three-year-old, the Black Prince. He took out the Carousel on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. The Carousel is a race that has been run for a long time in New South Wales, and it normally throws up a very talented horse. The Black Prince, very nice three-year-old. They purchased the horse for very big money. He's well-bred by Better's Delight out of a McArdle mare called It's My Style, and he ran past a very nice four-year-old in Atomic Red who has run some very nice time. So we'll catch up with Roy Roots, see what the plans is with him. It was Roy's biggest win as a trainer, so we'll speak with him soon. Ricky Alchin's also going to join us. Ricky's a trainer here in New South Wales. He trains at Menangle. He's best known with these young horses, but he's doing a tremendous job with his trotters. He has for many years, but he's got Tough Monarch absolutely low flying at the moment. Ran a really good race. We spoke with Joe Rando on the show last week about Sundawn's Comet, but Tough Monarch was the favourite in that Bull Eye Trotters Cup. Galloped at a vital stage in the race, gave away its winning chance, but still made up a lot of ground in that Bull Eye Trotters Cup. And then Ricky took the horse to Shepparton on Saturday night, and it won the Shepparton Trotters Cup. So we'll have a chat to Ricky about it and what sort of races he looks to set it for going forward. Mick Stanley's going to join us as well. Of course, he trained Soho No Leader, who took out the Australian Pacing Gold. I know Freddie caught up with Mick on Sunday in Pacing Rewind to have a chat, but I want to have a chat to Mick not only about No Leader, but he's also going to take Soho Burning Love across to WA for the WA Oaks on Friday. Fred Cruz is going to join us. Now, he's the owner of Maori Time, the mare that's been invited to represent Australia at the Elite Lop in Sweden. Now, of course, she had the heart fibrillation on Sunday at the trials at Bendigo. Now, there was some talk that she would trial again today after her heart went back into the rhythm at 5 o'clock yesterday morning. Now, that is not the case. She will not trial today, but they are hoping she will trial on the weekend. Whether she goes around in a trial at Melton on Saturday night with a stablemate, she'll have a hit out there, or maybe at the Maryborough trials on Sunday. So we'll speak with Fred and get an update from the team. And Ben Matthews is going to join us. Great story with Ben. He trains Rich Virgin. Rich Virgin provided Ben with his first Metropolitan winner on Saturday night when it took out one of those Menangle Country Finals, won race number four at the luxurious odds of 50-1, and came down the outside. I think in my pre-race on Sky, I said there were only two winning chances. They ran second and third, and the punters who found Rich Virgin, they were cheering all the way to the bank with the 50-1 on offer. But first up, we're going to have a chat to Roy Roots, who won the Carousel Final with a very talented three-year-old by the name of the Black Prince. He was driven exceptionally well by Chris Geary. He is driving in career best fashion. We'll come back and have a chat about Chris Geary very soon. But firstly, Roy Roots is joining me. Morning, Roy.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with that win on Saturday night. No doubt a career highlight and something you must be very proud of.
Yeah, it was a great night, Greg, and it was a real honour to win the Carousel. So, something that we've been trying to do for quite a while now. And, it was just great to win for the owners. They're great people and great supporters of mine.
Was it a pre-race tactic that you and Chris came up with? Because it just worked out perfectly in the end, the tactic to shoot out at the start and take the run behind Atomic Red?
Yeah, that was the plan. We probably should have, maybe tried those tactics in the Derby earlier as well. But, that was always the plan. We thought if we could just get on his back early and then just sit on him as long as we could, we were pretty confident we'd frighten him in the straight. So, yeah, it was good.
So when he first arrived in the country, he won his first four starts, and then he ran second in the Simpson Memorial. So he's always had loads of ability, and you've always sort of been targeting these bigger races to finally, you know, you ran a cracker in the New South Wales Derby when he ran fourth, but to finally jag one of these big ones and win a Group 2, that must have been a big tick and must have made you feel really good.
Yeah, it did. It was, we've always sort of known he's had the ability, and, especially with three-year-olds, you're still sort of learning how to race, and we've sort of looked after him and always driven him pretty conservative. So, it was sort of, since the Derby, he's matured a bit and got a bit stronger, so we just thought, now it's time to start sort of putting him into the races a little bit more, but it was a massive thrill.
You, when you first got him, he raced over the 2030 first up, but then it was a lot of mile racing. Were you always confident that he was going to get that mile and a half? I guess he's breeding by betters. It suggests that he's going to get the mile and a half, no problems. But going into that Derby series, did you have any queries that he would get the mile and a half?
No, not really. Only the fact that he'd never gone over the distance in race conditions. But, he's such a relaxed horse. He doesn't waste his energy, and, he's really the perfect racehorse in that sense. You can just sort of put him anywhere and he doesn't over-race. So, he just ticks all the boxes. He's got great gate speed, and he just, you can put him anywhere. He doesn't waste his energy, and he's just got that lethal finish. So, it was always a little bit of a concern. Like I said, not going under race conditions at that distance, but we were pretty confident that he'd handle it quite well.
Now, you're not afraid to travel horses. I know you went to Queensland last year. Is he a Queensland Derby proposition? Is that a possibility?
Well, we sort of toyed with the idea, Grant, but the Bronze Crown in Melbourne's always been his main aim. So we were just sort of trying to sort of have him ready for that, and there's quite a few possibilities, where he could go next. But, at the moment, we were just sort of concentrating on the carousel, and then from there, we'll just sort of he'll have a little freshen up now, there's quite a few possibilities where he could go next. But if anything sort of fits in well with the Breeders' Crown, well then, it's definitely an option.
And how many horses are you working?
We've got 25 in work at the moment, so we've got quite a few in work, but we've got a good team behind us here, and some people that have really helped me sort of build it up to those sort of numbers. So it's been really good. We've been having quite a good one lately.
Well, great reward for all the hard work and effort you're putting in, and obviously the support of the owners, giving you the chance to train a horse like the Black Prince. I guess there'd have to be some pressure. You'd have to feel some pressure with a horse, the price tag of the Black Prince coming into the stable.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely pressure. It's more just the pressure, I think, of getting the results but with a horse like him, you feel a lot better about it all because he's so talented, So it's more of a thrill to take him to the races than anything. But you definitely feel the pressure for sure.
Well, mate, congratulations with that win on Saturday night. It was a ripper drive by Chris Geary. Very good training performance by yourself, and we look forward to wherever we see him next.
Thank you very much.
There he is, Roy Roots Jr., the trainer of the Black Prince, who took out Saturday night's Group 2 at Menangle, the carousel. So a great training performance by Roy Roots. I just want to mention Chris Geary. Now, look, I know we have a Not All Heroes Wear Capes segment on in the gig, and that's actually got quite a strong following, and it's something we've only brought in this year. And that's Drives of the Week, and obviously, Chris Geary's going to get a mention in that tonight. I won't give away what position he gets, but Chris Geary's doing a remarkable job in where in the position that he holds in New South Wales at the moment, considering that he's not really a number one driver for anyone. He sits number two at the Pizzuto stable behind Todd McCarthy. He's number two if Lauren Tritton can't drive. He basically picks up the number two drives there for Shane and Lauren. He picks up a few drives for the Craig Cross stable if there's a drive available there behind Luke. He picks up a few drives. Obviously, he has the drive on the Black Prince for Roy Roots. There's a few drives for Tim Butt when Anthony Butt's not available and doesn't make the trip up there. He drives a few for him as well. But he does a remarkable job, and he is driving in career-best fashion at the moment. So well done to Chris Geary. There's always been a lot of pressure on that kid. I still remember when they announced that they were going to have the Inter-Dominions in Sydney for that three-year run, and they had Brian Hancock at the press announcement. They had Natalie Rasmussen there. They had a very young Chris Geary. I can still see Chris. He was about a 14, 13-year-old kid. He's been like that young footballer who they sign to a 16-year-old footballer who they sign to a professional club, and they put him in a contract, and everyone's expecting him to play first grade. And, it sometimes can be a bit of pressure on the young kids, and it takes them a while to find their footing, and it did with Chris. But he's really starting to enjoy the fruits of his ability, and he will continue to get better and better. This next bloke, he's been around for a little bit longer than Chris Geary, but he is really starting to find his feet. Not only he's always had the ability with the youngsters, there is no doubt about that, really good breaker. He's always been very talented with the younger horses, but his ability with the trotters, that's always been there as well. But he's found himself a trotter that just might take him to the top of the trotting ranks in Australia. And that's a tough Monarch. A six-year-old that we saw run a cracker in the Bulleye Trotters Cup a couple of weeks ago at Menangle. Ricky put the horse on the float on Saturday and took him down to compete in the Shepparton Trotters Cup. And he came out and he spanked them. And there were some pretty nice trotters in that Shepparton Trotters Cup on Saturday night. And Ricky's joining me on the show to have a chat about it. Morning, Ricky.
How are you, Greg?
Really well. Tough Monarch. The drums are beating about this bloke. He could be the next big thing on the Australian trotting scene.
Yeah, there's been a bit of word spoken that he might be. We'll let him do the talking, though, Greg.
He hasn't been an easy trotter to train, has he? But he's starting to put it all together.
No, he's been very difficult, actually, at times. He was broken in late. He wasn't broken in till a late three-year-old. He was just in a paddock up in Queensland somewhere, and they actually advised the owners to just get rid of him. They said, this horse is too mad, he'll hurt somebody. And Dennis Wilson actually asked me to take him and give him a go, and he was a handful, there was no doubt about it, and it has taken him a long time to sort himself out. He is lightly raced. I think he's only had 24 starts for 10 wins now, but he's got the world of ability.
What about around the stables? Is he still a handful, or is he getting better as each day goes by?
Oh, he's getting much better. I think I took him to Melbourne the end of last preparation when he probably wasn't, or definitely wasn't, racing to the best of his ability. But just even that trip away, it sort of seasoned him a little bit, and the trip to Shepparton this time, he was much better. And around the stables, he's pretty good. He was just always a very untrusting horse. He's learned to trust, and he's finally starting to put it together.
That run at Menangle in the Bulleye Trotters Cup, that was unbelievable. The amount of ground that he made up, like when Fred said, oh, have a look at this. Have a look at Tough Monarch, all the ground he's made up. I had to go back and watch the replay and thought, wow, that's amazing, the amount of ground he made up in that. Were you basically just getting him home and then thought, oh, we're making up a fair bit of ground here?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. I still don't know what went wrong that day. I think I probably should have just let him slide a little bit. I was probably being a bit kind to him.
You there, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, then.
Yep. Still got me?
Yep.
Yep, so you should have let him slide that day? Still there, Rick?
You there, Greg?
Yeah, mate. You still got me?
You there, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the card has pulled up and switched over. Yeah. What was that?
No, so you were too kind to him that day? You were going to let him slide?
Probably should have let him slide, I've got no doubt.
Yeah.
He probably could have trod his last three quarters in 28 that night. He was right on song, but, yeah, you know, he was his own worst enemy.
So what do you do now that he's won the Shepparton Trotters Cup? Are you going to throw him into the deep end as the year progresses?
Definitely. Yeah, that's my plan. To race him, you know, against the best trotters whenever I can, because, you know, in those longer trip races and when they run along, you know, if he does things right, it'll take a good one to beat him.
Would you think about taking him to New Zealand for Cup Week for, you know?
Actually hasn't been a thought. I'd have to sit down and talk to the owners, but maybe.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, although he's 6 year old, he is still quite an immature horse, and I think this campaign will be his campaign.
But the further he goes, the better?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
All right, mate. Well done. Congratulations with the win, and I think you're going to have some fun times ahead with him.
No worries. Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Ricky Alchin, the trainer-driver of Tough Monarch, who looks to be something very, very exciting. And the guys that race that horse, Alex Kay, Michael Van Rens, Peter Gadsby, Charlie Montebello, Mark Congerton, Vince McDonald, Ryan Kay, those names might sound familiar. They are the guys that predominantly, a number of them, were in that syndicate, the race Smoking Up, race the mare, Tough Tussle. So that's that group of gentlemen that that were in the syndicate that had a number of horses that, you know, were with Lance Justice in Victoria and Dennis Wilson. They had a few horses with Paul Fitzpatrick. They had a big team in all different states. So they look like they've found themselves another nice horse. Mick Stanley is the trainer driver of Soho Nolita, who won the Australian Pacing Gold on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. He also, of course, looks after Soho Burning Love, who's going to head across to WA for the WA Oaks. And Mick is joining me on the line to have a chat about that APG win on Saturday night. Morning, Mick.
Yeah, morning, Hazy. How are you, mate?
Mate, really well. She looks something very, very special, Soho Nolita, but she's regally bred. She's like a little princess, isn't she, in terms of breeding?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I can tell you she gets treated one like at home too, don't worry.
Being out of that mare, she's got some very famous brothers and sisters, and I guess when she first came into the stables, was she showing signs of being the star that she is? She's out of a mare called Pixel Perfect, and of course that makes her related to some very smart ones, including Soho Tribeca and Carla's Pixel Birdie Mac. So we know that her brothers and sisters are all very talented. So was she showing signs of being a talented one from very early on?
Yeah, she did, mate. She's sort of one of those horses that picked everything up very easy, was a quick learner and was always a forward working filly. So, you know, when you get these well bred young stock come into the stable, there's always a lot of expectation that you know, they should be able to run, and a lot of the time that, you know, that may not be the case. But yeah, Pixel Perfect, her dam, she just produces star after star. So I'm really thankful that I could, you know, have a little small part in being able to take one to the races.
Well, mate, if she doesn't get Broodmare of the Year Pixel Perfect, I'll dead set give it away. Soho Nolita, she won her first start at Ballarat. Then she went round in the heats of the APG. What happened that night? Because she wasn't at her best. She was beaten 10 metres in 157.2. Was she just off a game?
Yeah, she was. We gave her a spell after her first start, you know, with the APG as her main goal. But along the way, she got a foot abscess, and it was one of those tricky ones that took a very long time to burst. It took a couple of weeks, and she missed probably 2 weeks out of her work in the last 6 weeks leading up to the heat. So she had a checkered preparation, and that probably showed on the night. She was still a little bit fresh and underdone. So looking back at the way that it panned out, it, it was probably a blessing that she got that second run in the repechage to really top her off.
Oh, she looked a different filly that following week. And then on Saturday night, everything went to plan for you. She had to do a fair bit of work early because you were trapped out wide, but once you found the top, you were pretty confident?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say it all went to plan smoothly, Hazy, that's for sure. Early, well, I was probably trapped out three wide a little longer than what I would have liked, but as you said, I was able to find the front halfway down the back straight there and get a breather all the way around the side. And that was sort of crucial to give us a kick in the home straight, which she did really well.
Yeah, she did. She did give a big kick at the top of the straight. What do you do with her now? Do you just give her a little bit of a break and get her ready for a couple of the features towards the end of the towards the end of the season?
Yeah, that's exactly right. She'll have, 10 days freshen up. They don't get a lot of time to have a rest in between these feature races, the 2 and 3 year old. So 10 days is all she'll probably get, and then we'll attack the big bread, and then after that we'll probably do the same and aim at the Breeders' Crown.
Mate, I want to give you're obviously very good with your horses, there's no doubt about that, but I want to also give you a wrap for your man management skills with that young fella you got working for you, Ryan Duffy. He's an absolute credit to you as well. He obviously drove Single Tree Road on Saturday night into fourth spot. He's come a long way in a short time, but he's an absolute credit to the industry and he's a credit to you as well. He did a great job in driving that horse, but he looks like a real nice young fella and he's obviously got some ability to go with it.
Yeah, no, thanks, Avi. Ryan, he's got a good head on his shoulders and he's taken his time in the industry. He hasn't rushed into it. He got his trials license when he was 16, like a lot of us do that are born into the industry. But he went out and got a trade and he done his trade and I think he's in his first year of driving as a 22-year-old, which is, it doesn't happen that way very often in the industry. So I think he'll get the rewards, but he drove a horse for us nearly 12 months ago in a junior driver race and I was really impressed with the way he approached himself and came in early and wanted to help gear the horse up and really knew the form of the other runners and went home and I said to Jen, I think we need to try and get this young fella at our stable. I think we can really help him achieve what he wants to do and he'll be a great asset for our stable as well. So I think going forward, he'll be as much help to us having him around the stables as what we will be to him.
So that's how it all started between you and him coming to work for you?
Yeah, exactly. It took me a while to convince him to come. It took me a good 3 or 4 weeks but I'm sure that looking back on it, he'll be wrapped and he made the decision also. So, we're really wrapped to have him and I had no hesitation in putting him on Single Tree Road when Chris Alford was obviously going to choose Emma Stewart's horse. So he drives them all track work at home and he knows the horses. So I'm happy to reward him with those prizes and the effort he put in.
No, good young fella. Soho Burning Love, she's off to Perth?
Yeah, she'll head there. All going well. The plane will leave early tomorrow morning. So she track worked nice this morning and pulled up well from Victoria. So, yeah, we'll head over there. And obviously, Rob being a Western Australian, he likes to see horses race. So it'll be a good opportunity for him to get trackside and have a look.
All right. Is Tribeca back in work?
Yeah, he's back in work. Been back in a couple of weeks. And, all going well. And we have a smooth preparation, which is no reason we shouldn't. We'll head back up the all way for the length this mile.
Beautiful, mate. All right. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Very good. Thanks, Hazy.
Thanks, mate. Mick Stanley joining us to have a chat about Soho Nolita, who took out the Australian Pacing Gold on a Saturday night. We'll have a quick catch-up with Fred Cruz. Obviously, the talk of the trotting world the talk of the trotting in Australia has been the fact that Maori Time, the mayor who won the trot on Miracle Mile Night, has been invited to represent Australia at the Elite Lop in Sweden at the end of May. Fantastic news for Australia, and everything was going to plan until the trial at Bendigo on Sunday, and unfortunately she didn't get too far in the trial and she suffered a heart fibrillation. Now the good news is it hasn't cause too much of a setback. She was going to trial today, but those plans were shelved after they spoke with the vets, after Brent Lilly spoke with the vets yesterday and she underwent an ECG. Fred Cruz is the owner of Maori Time, and Fred's going to join me on the show and give us a latest update. Morning, Fred.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, how are you feeling this morning?
A lot better than I was on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's good. What's the latest with Maori Time?
Look, she worked along quietly again this morning, and Brent is happy with her. The vet's probably having another look at her as we speak. Brent intends to trial her now on Sunday. It could be either Maryborough or Bendigo. Mm-hmm. He hasn't decided. She'll probably have a pretty searching trial there. And I guess if things don't go well, then we'll be pulling the pin. But hopefully that won't be happening. And from what other trainers have told us and from Brent's experience, this is a hiccup, and everything should go well.
So it's basically this trial on Sunday will be D-Day, won't it? Because she needs to leave. Is it on the 9th?
Yes, she's leaving on the 9th. So it's not just a matter of going over there and acquitting ourselves. Well, the horse's welfare is of paramount importance. She's a valuable mare, and I'm certainly not going to take any risks with her.
Okay, so basically, it's a big day for you and the mare on Sunday, whether it be at Maryborough or Bendigo.
Yes, that's right, Greg.
Must have been a pretty rough 24 hours for you on Sunday, then.
It was, yes, definitely, yep, absolutely, yep.
How's it been since the announcement has come through? Forget what obviously has happened on Sunday, but since the announcement that you had been given the invite to represent Australia, that must be something very special. I know you've had a lot of interest in horse racing right throughout your life, and you've had some success in that, but what about the chance to represent Australia? That's something pretty special.
Look, I realise this Elite Loop was big, but it's bigger than I ever imagined. The feedback I'm getting from both Sweden and locally here in Victoria, it's just amazing, and it's surprising the number of people that have been there. It's like a pilgrimage that trotting people need to make.
That's a good way to describe it, a pilgrimage. Because you have had Melbourne Cup and Golden Slipper horses in the past?
Yes, well, I had a share in a Golden Slipper winner, but owning and breeding a horse like this that's going overseas, that sort of takes it to another level. As harness racing has always been my first love, and this is the pinnacle, I guess.
Yep, for sure. And what about when she won that race at Menangle? Did you have any inkling that there would be international interest as a result of that performance?
Oh, no. I've probably got to point out that the Harness Racing Australia approached the Swedish authorities and put the facts in front of them and made sure they knew about it. So it was due to the efforts of Andrew Kelly and Michael Taranto that we've got this invitation.
Yeah. Well, let's hope everything, fingers crossed, goes well on Sunday, whether it be at Maryborough or Bendigo. And the news is good, and she gets on that plane on the 9th of May, and she represents Australia and does us proud. And we'll keep in contact with you. And, of course, we will be having Brent Lilly, her trainer, on in the gig tonight to get the latest update from the vet as well. But thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Greg, and I look forward to meeting you in Sweden.
Thanks, Fred. There he is, Fred Cruz, the owner of Maori Time. Yes, the trip to Sweden is on if Maori Time goes. So fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything's crossed. that she does make the trip. What about this story? Rich Virgin. I remember, of course, I was at Sky Channel and 2KY before Sky Racing Radio became, or 2KY before it became Sky Racing Radio, for a long time, 14, 15 years, and then spent some time at Harness Racing New South Wales. And I remember ringing Ben Matthews while I was at Harness Racing New South Wales when the horse, his horse Rich Virgin, won the Breeders' Plate. And I wrote a story on it, and it was in 2014, and we had a chat then, and then the horse went on, and he's won a couple of other races, and he spent some time with Peter Rickson, and he won some races at Canberra and Penrith, and he raced at Menangle a few times, and he won a couple of races at Menangle, and he's gone back to Ben, and he spent some time with Peter, and he's gone back to Ben again. And anyway, he won a race at West Wyalong a couple of weeks ago, a country heat, and we actually featured him on In the Gig. He made our drives of the week section. Blake Jones drove a cracker. He got there late. He came down the outside. And then he's come out in the final on Saturday night. And Blake Jones, again, has produced an absolute screamer. But great news for Ben, because not only has this horse won him the Breeders' Plate, which was something special for him back in 2014, but he's provided him with his first Metro winner. And that was on Saturday night at the luxurious odds of 50-1. And Ben's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Ben.
G'day, AZ. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm really well. Congratulations with that win on Saturday night. That must have been very special.
It was very special, and thanks for the intro. It was very special.
So did you give yourselves any chance of winning on Saturday night? I know the win at West Wyalong was pretty good, so obviously the horse has been racing pretty well of late.
Yeah, no, he's been going really well. Yeah, we're confident that we're probably a place chance. So the way he's been working at home and the way he's been racing, he's been going really well of late. And Blake sort of said to me before the race, you know, you take probably Amanda's horse out of that field, and the field, you know, is pretty even. So we're sort of pretty confident. We sort of weren't happy with the draw. But we thought if we can lob pretty close there somewhere, he'd be getting home pretty good.
But what amazed me, the time. Like, he's broken 151, 150.9. You know, like, that suggests that he can come back to Menangle and be competitive in the Metropolitan racing.
Yeah. No, I was stunned too at the time. You know, the leaders ran along and that's sort of what brought us into the race, really. But but he still had to finish it off. So he got a good run in transit, and it was a gem of a drive by Blake.
It was for sure and certain. Now, obviously, you've had the horse going back and forth to Pete Rickson during the horse's career. What's the plans with him going forward?
Well, he's at Lukey's at the moment. Lukey and Craig's, McCarthy and Craig Cross.
Yep.
Pete and I talked about it. Probably about a month ago. I was keen, you know, he's sort of up in that grade now. He's a five now after winning that race. So, I was keen for him to get back down to the Metro tracks and have a bit of a crack at it there. And Pete just sort of said to me that, Luke's got the swim of the walker and all the facilities out there. And he said it might be, he'll be, to give the horses a good shot at it and, to send him out there at Luke's.
So what's how did you come about to get this horse? You bought him at the sales, didn't you?
Yep, so we went to the Bathurst Gold Sales, yeah. So we're fortunate enough to pick him up there at the Bathurst Gold Sales. Me and my travelling partner, Brad Naylor, we hooked the float up and went down to the Bathurst Sales, yeah.
That's right, and so he's been a good buy because he's obviously won a feature as a very early 2-year-old, and he's come out as a 6-year-old, and he's won your race at Menangle.
He definitely has. He was sort of early on. He had plenty of energy as a young horse, and I went away for a couple of weeks, and Wayne and Robbie looked after him for me, the Sullivans out in Leeton.
Yep.
And when I got back, Wayne said that he's going to be an early 2-year-old. You know, he's doing everything right, and he could rip up pretty well. So we'll start to get a little bit excited then, even though you know, he's not a brilliant horse, but he's a nice little bread and butter horse.
Well, he's a bread and butter horse, all right. He's won $90,000 in his career, and he's got a best winning time of 150.9. Plenty of people would love to have one of those horses in the backyard, Ben. Mate, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Congratulations with that win on a Saturday night. Well done getting a Saturday night winner, and all the best of luck with him going forward.
Yeah, good on you, Hazy. Thank you very much.
No probs. There he is, Benny Matthews, the trainer of Rich Virgin, who will continue his career for the short time with Craig Cross out there at the McCarthy property at Cobbity. All right, that wraps up the show, Cozzy, and I will join Ben Way and also Jason Bonington on In The Gig tonight from 6 o'clock. And as we mentioned, special guest tonight will be Brent Lilly, the trainer of Maori Time, who'll have that latest report on her after he speaks with the vet. And hopefully we'll have further news on whether she will trial at Bendigo or Maryborough on Sunday.
Terrific. Good on you, Greg. Have a great night.
Thanks, mate.